Okay, today let's learn, we have started a new siman, a very interesting siman about the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses. There's some fascinating Shi'arim, siman halachas here in this siman. Siman Yud Gimel is on page Tzadi Aleph. So let's first learn some of the halachas. It's a short siman with many Kedushim. Kedine Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, Boi Heisi. We have to remember one thing is very clear, that in time of Chazal, that there were two different types of holy places. There was the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. By Goyim, there's no such thing. See, we don't, the Goyim used to be very religious. There's so much literature, rabbinic literature, comparing the Beis HaKnesses to Rachmon Lalhavil, Elif Alfa Avdolis, to the church. There's a lot of what they do in the church, they do the Beis HaKnesses. There was a lot of the Goyim. They were very, what?
The other way around, I mean, since they're copying.
Absolutely, but they due to the severity of Golus, they had a very strong influence in Achiza. Many Jews were influenced, and they were forced conversions, and so on and so forth. We know all those stories. Today, Baruch Hashem, the Goyim, they're not very religious. They're not into this. So it's not an issue. But one thing they don't have. Goyim don't have something called the Beis Medrash and the Beis HaKnesses. They have a place where they pray.
They have a rectory.
What's a rectory? A study hall?
I live there. I always feel the priest.
They have a rectory there.
But in Chazal, there's something called the Beis Medrash, something called the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses, in many respects, is more chomor than the Beis Medrash. Because you're only going there to daven. If you're going there to daven, you're only there for a short period of time, you are expected to have the ultimate respect for the makom. Because I'm only there for a short period of time to daven. There's an Aron HaKodesh, they take out the Sefer Torah, it's a sacred makom. There's a very great milah. Unfortunately, we don't have this today. It's a very big problem. We don't have a place today where we have to feel, we have to force, discipline ourselves to behave in a very refined way for a period of time. Because in the Beis Medrash, where you're expected to be the remainder of the day when you're not working and you're learning, there the rules are relaxed. You can sit down, you can lie down, take a nap, you can eat. Because when you're learning, since you're supposed to be learning for a prolonged period of time, it's not the rules are relaxed. Unfortunately, today, everything is merged into one. Today, all the Batei Kinesios, the Batei Midrash, all the Batei Midrash, the Batei Kinesios, everything is merged into one. So what happens? It gets the coolest of both. Every shul is a shtibul. A shtibul means a room. So every shul basically has leniencies of a Beis Medrash, where you can eat, you can sleep, you can schmooze, you can do whatever you want. And it's even built out of Tanai. If you want, you can have a wedding, according to many opinions, because every shul today, really, every Beis HaKnesses is built out of Tanai. It doesn't have the full sanctity. And that, unfortunately, is a very big problem. Because if we had it in our life, at least even once a week, we would be forced to go to a makom where we would be forced to discipline ourselves. You're walking into a sacred makom, and there's no talking, and you have to stand, and you're not allowed to do certain things. That would have an effect on us, our behavior, even when we're not in the Beis HaKnesses. People go to the Kosel. I heard many, many times, it's a terrible thing. People are not nizar in the Kedusha of the Kosel. The Kosel has a status of pretty much the Beis HaKnesses. And now you shouldn't say by the Kosel Plaza, Dvarim Batalim, and you shouldn't, if you have to go make a talk on the phone, so you should go out, go to the back. You shouldn't go talk, Mamish, Tzmokam Ashur Sashrina, as the status of the Beis HaKnesses. It's sacred. Not talking about the tourists, talking about us. Even though people are not treating you with the right kedusha, doesn't mean that you have a right to be mezalz and do things in front of the kosel that are not the kedusha. It's more kedusha than why. So why are we so lax? Because we live in Brooklyn and we go to shtiruch and we go to the elikulah and everything is a Beis Medrash, and Beis Medrash rules are relaxed. So our whole, and with an Aron Kodesh in front of us, and we're used to not being nizar in the kedusha when things are in front of us. So we go to the kosel. So it's the same thing. It's no different. There's no Aron Kodesh. It's just a wall. We're too lenient in our approach to holy places.
I think this is related to the growth and power of the so-called yeshiva world. In other words, as the yeshiva world grew, the congregation diminished in power.
Absolutely.
And we see this right now, let's say 40, 50 years ago. Who was my Masada Kedush?
The Rav.
The Rav of my yeshiva.
Today it's the Rosh Shiva.
The Rosh Yeshiva.
Exactly.
So you see, this is a switch in the power.
Correct.
It manifests itself that we don't have a pure base Knesset.
Absolutely. We don't have any more. That's certainly true. There's no longer in this generation a pure Beis HaKnesset. But here he brings up that point, and it's even that point is even mentioned in the beginning, in the title of the Simen of Dinei Kedusha Beis HaKnesset, Kama, Ubeis HaMedrash. Two different places. Aleph, Kedusha Beis HaKnesset Ubeis HaMedrash Gedoylo Me'oid. We have to be afraid of the one that dwells in this place. Who is the one that dwells in this mokam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You shall be afraid. You shall fear my holy places. Ubeis HaKnesset, Ubeis HaMedrash, Nikroim Gam Kein Mikdash, Kedersiv, Vo'ehi Lohem L'Mikdash Ma'at. I will be for them as a small Mikdash. V'dashinan, what does this pasuk refer to? I will be for them as a small Mikdash. Eilu Bate Kedersiv, Bate Midrashos, period. L'chein, therefore, Asur, it is forbidden, L'daber Bom Dvorim, B'teilim, V'ein Mechashvim Bochem Cheshbonos Elah Shol Mitzvah. You're not allowed to make calculations. Cheshbonos Elah Shol Mitzvah. K'goyim Kupa Shol Tztaka Chudoyme, only matters linked to Tztaka. V'nei Hagim Bochem Kovit. L'chabdam, and you have to be very careful to give them honor. L'chabdam, to sweep them. L'raftsam, and to pour. Ancient times, they had earth floors. They would spray water to settle the dust. U'malikim Bochem Neros L'chavod, and you light candles in honor of the Beis HaKnesset. Period. Now another verb on Allah. Ilan Ashek Bochem Bada Vakatanim She'inay Royal Harus Sham Ahava Ve'acheres Zulas Ahava Sashem Yisproch. It is usher to kiss a child in the Beis HaKnesset. Unfortunately, people are not miserable this. People, their grandchildren come all the time to shul and they kiss them right there in shul. That's not proper. I once heard a heter. The only heter I heard is when it's not Peshas Tzila. The prohibition of kissing a child in the Beis HaKnesset, your children or grandchildren, only b'shas, the time of tefillah. Once davening is over, and now they walk in, they arrive, then it's not as chomer. That's the only heter that I've heard. I don't even know if that's really said. It's a valid heter. It depends where you go. I used to see this all the time. People kiss their children, not miserness, but it's also to show any signs of affection because the children. The only heter is not talmud tefillah. I'll give you another example of this idea. Nabshas tefillah. You're not allowed to touch the cloth of the sefer Torah. We all know that. You're going to say Sefer Torah is Kodesh, and you're not allowed to touch the cloth. They do Hagba Galila, so sometimes the cloth falls down, so they're very careful to pick it up. So it's also brought down that the prohibition of touching the margin is only B'Shas Kriya Satorah. When it's not B'Shas Kriya Satorah, and you take out the Sefer Torah to be Goylal, the Sefer Torah, and the cloth from the Goylal doesn't exactly fit, you want to maneuver it to get it, you don't have to be as machmir as you ordinarily would be b'shas, because b'shas tefillah and b'shas kriyas haTorah, that's a moment of greater sanctity. And in moments of greater sanctity, there are higher standards. When it's not a moment of that sanctity, when the tefillah is over, it's holy, don't kid yourself, the makom is holy, the object is holy, but the standards are relaxed. So if a person is kissing his children during davening, that's awesome. If it's not during davening, there are grounds to be medical, because now the moment of tefillah is over. It's still a holy makom. Ideally, it's not meant to be done, but the standards are not as chomer. Okay, let's... Also, it's part of davening. Forbidden, absolutely forbidden. During the rabbi's speech is also part of the service. I think it's part of the service. The rabbi's speech is all for the purpose to arouse the people to daven better. I once went to a place and there was no rabbi, and there was a gabbai, and I used to get up before Musaf, This is the minhag, jokes.
Jokes.
That's the, every Shabbos. What does he do? Jokes. Every Shabbos before Musaf makes jokes. Terrible zilzul. The whole purpose of the rabbi making the drasha is to be me'oyer the people to daven better. That's all the tzarech hatfila. The rabbi gives the drasha is inspiration. It's to teach you something about the parasha, to inspire you. Take seriously what you're doing, to create a mood, to create a setting. That's part of the service, part of the davening. To make jokes, there's no rabbi, so we'll make a few announcements, and we'll always, always very makpid that we should go into the Kaddish, Skadalvi, Skadash, Shnei Rabba, should be thinking of elevated of a silly joke. That is mamish, kineged, everything that davening stands for, everything the purpose of giving a drasha stands for. So l'chayim, it's all part of davening. Let's see over here what it says in the kitzur, in the Shemitim Halacha. Okay, now what I'm going to read you now is not exactly Halacha l'maisa, because Baruch Hashem, we have very different standards, but let's just see what it says anyway. Aleph, in the Shemitim Halacha, Kutus V'Zakneses, Bizmanenu Hayoyim, Miyachdin, that he's talking about, I guess, in the end of the 19th century. Miyachadim cheder samach lebeis hakneses lebate kisos. That's the beis hakise bathrooms leketanim ugledolim. That means different. Going to the beis hakise. V'yesh lezar bezesh lo yechdu tzad koisle beis hakneses lekvoya sham beis kibul mechmi.
Mechasina. That's porcelain.
Porcelain, okay. Don't make the wall from porcelain. Why? Shudava shoat smooth v'chilek u'mishrak sharek migabo, and the things glide off. In other words, the toilet or the urinal should not be on the other side of the Beis HaKnesses. And in these ancient times, today wouldn't exist such a thing. But I think in very, very primitive conditions, you have a wall. On one side of the wall, everyone is davening. On the other side of the wall, they smeared wall with porcelain or some type of waterproof material. And the other side of the wall is the urinal. So we're davening Mizruch. And the other side is the Beis HaKise. So he says, okay, today it's unheard of such a thing, obviously. But in the old days, it wasn't unheard of. It wasn't unheard of. Someone told me, you know, they read all these stories at Rothschild. The Rothschild, Baron Rothschild, he was the richest man in the world, the Gavir. The average person today has a much better life than Baron Rothschild. The luxuries that the average person in America has are greater than what he had. So Baruch Hashem, we live in an environment where we have all of these amenities. So let's go further. So you should not do this, because this is zilzul. Why? So he said over here, the wall is a very big chiddush. The wall of the Beis HaKnesses on both sides, inside the shul, on the other side of the shul, has kedusha. Yesh boi kedusha Beis HaKnesses. Kimasha kosav b'shelus yaretz v'ahuva b'sharit shuva. The ayin b'rosh yosef the yesh lazar le'aloha olam shelo yashtinu al kiyus Beis HaKnesses v'mechutz. A jalalach. Okay, ancient times people would urinate on the wall of a building. That was the way. That was the standards of the times. They were urinating on the wall of buildings. So therefore, you may do this by the public library, but don't do this outside the wall of the shul. It's a zilz of the Beis HaKnesses to urinate outside the Beis HaKnesses. So shas nida shamisa shatir the harahu he. Uvshas nida sham isa shetil leechos ba'amol lahashin mechutz legag Beis HaKnesses av sheze avero chamur meoid ayin sham. The Gemara is quoting Gemara. The Gemara says there that if a person needs to go, in ancient times they would go to the roof and they would relieve themselves, and therefore they would further away. And the Gemara discusses all the different issues of touching that part of the body and the trade off of the problem of being in the Beis HaKnesses, to the Beis HaKnesses, versus the issue of coming in contact with that part of the body. Okay, light, base. To the citizens in the positive, the Mikdashi Tiro, I am Shasa Shuvis Chasam Sefer. To Dover Shayme, Umos Oilo, Makritmo Lechabe, Mokabes Tizlosam, in Onu Loinase, Kenge Shil Hashem. We have to keep up with the standards of society.
If
the goyim do it, and if we don't do it, it's a chil Hashem. Chayin zeh kasev magin Avram. V'ruchu moisef lo, dochal kol ma sh'anu boinim beis ha-knesses t'kabetz boi rabim. Why do we build today batei kinesis? What's the source? It's because l'kad v'shem shemayim, navgol mikur b'perek hasht omar, v'ligdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. K'moy sh'isa b'shas, v'reisha, the high crow who, the beginning of that very same pasuk of l'gdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael is, v'loi sechalulu Hashem kodshi. V'hashta, im b'binyin beis ha-knesses yichil Hashem, if we build beis ha-knesses, and it's not built with the same standards that the goyim use for their place of worship, then yotza schoroi behefseidai. The reward is the mikdashli b'seich b'nei Yisrael, but at the same time we lose that reward because in the beginning of the pasuk it's lo sechalu Hashem kodshi. They look at our beis haknesses. They say, look at these Jews. They don't take seriously their worship, their form of prayer, to the degree where they'll make a dignified, a covetical place to daven. So therefore, we have to keep up with the standards of the time. The Hashem b'nei Yisrael. When you have to be makbid, only things which are publicly seen, publicly known, whatever they're makbid on, we have to be makbid on. Things which is not known to the public, things are private, you cannot afford it. You cannot afford to have the upkeep and the maintenance cannot be the same that they have in their place of worship, and no one knows that anyway. Because anyway, we're not makpidim a lot of things. Like with them, for example, students mitzvah. For example, what do we do in the Beis HaKnesses that they do not do in their temples of worship? We eat. In the Beis HaKnesses, the minig is to have a sudas mitzvah. We're going to have that soon. Even in the real Beis HaKnesses, you're allowed to have a bris. You're allowed to have a sudas mitzvah. You're allowed to take a shinas haray, take a nap, a daba for half an hour. In the church, in ancient times, there was no eating. Never, ever, ever. And there was no sleeping in their church. If someone would sleep, someone would eat, they'd be thrown out. So we see that there are fundamental differences between, we don't have the same standards. So don't make a mistake and think that if we eat and we sleep in the Beis HaKnesses in certain situations, that it's a chil Hashem, because we do it and they do not do it. That's not true. We have different sets of rules. So we don't have to be 100% like the Goyim, but in the basic things which would be a great chil Hashem, then we have to be very careful. Oh, they do. Well, first of all, how do you know that? So I once heard, it's not a joke, but I once heard a rabbi was speaking and he said that exactly he was saying that it's a chil Hashem when he talks. Why should we be doing the goyim in their church? They're quiet. So someone says, so rabbi, I used to pray, I guess he was about tshuva. I used to, before I became religious, I used to go to church. Rabbi, I'm sorry to tell you, they talk in church even more than they talk in shul. So don't be catrig. Don't say things that you don't know. So we don't really know what goes on. What? It's hard. Of course, hard to generalize. There are some shuls that don't talk. There are some shuls. Everything is hard. Yeah.
And for them.
Yeah. So it's just next. The Elohim Amidosh Mat Gimel. I am the Shiles Jubas in Yitzhak Lagoin Mikovna. The Mutu Limkar Beis Hamedrash. Cotton Lasois Memos Beis Tefila. Are you allowed to sell, convert a shul into a mikvah? Think about it. Tough shiloh, very tough shiloh. Menashim for women. So the answer is yes. Why the mitzvah derabim? The iser chorus. Because a base of mikvah is for the tzibur. And it's not just for it's for the whole community. The Beis HaKnesses, it appears, is not everyone may use the Beis HaKnesses, only Yechidim. And the Isser Chorus. And not going to mikvah is a chiyuv chorus. Davening, according to many places, is only mitzvah derabbanan. Ustiras Beis HaMedrash shu midrabbanan v'chosav oitam and demolishing the Beis HaMedrash is only nisim midrabbanan. But building a mikvah for chorus and for taras hamishpacha is much more important. Therefore, he paskins tough shilut. It was the different stories that there was no gain in there. If you want to do it. And
Beis Medrash on purpose?
I don't think so.
Or it's interchangeable with Beis Knesset.
I think it's interchangeable. I think so. I'm not sure. I think it's interchangeable. Yeah.
Isn't Beis Knesset built with the night of it not being
Well, if it is, certainly. But let's assume it was not. The old-fashioned types of Batei Knesset that were built mamish l'shem beis haknesses. And now there's a need to make a mikvah. And the only way we can get funds for the mikvah is to sell the shul, demolish the shul, and then use the money to build a mikvah. So it's a tough shaila. We don't really appreciate the shaila in our times, but that's how it was in ancient times. And he passed in the smutter because the tiras hamishpacha is the most important thing. Well, he's quoting a tshuva. You see, when he says Beis HaMedrash, he's quoting from the Ein Yitzchak. He's not quoting the Kovna. He's not quoting his own words. If Rabbi Braun was speaking, so Lachari, he would be careful what he says. But you see, that's what he's doing. He quotes from Tshuva's Sfarim. So the tshuva, every quoting happens to discuss the Ein of the Beis HaMedrash. But Lachari doesn't make a difference. Now he talks about something which is very important. It's again, this community often, where you have a shul, they do construction. On they do construction, they have to demolish... They have to demolish the place where they're davening. Everyone knows the Gemara Masechet Bava Basra that you're not allowed to demolish a Beis HaKnesses to build a better base, better to build a new Beis Medrash, unless it's sakana, it's dilapidated, it may collapse any moment, sakana. Because if you'll demolish the shul, who says you'll ever rebuild? You'll get lazy, or there'll be a scandal. Some will steal all the money. And you'll never get around to building the new Beis HaKnesses, and you'll have nothing. Right now, we see you have a shul. So what do you want to do? Oh, you want to knock down this shul and build a magnificent palace. Beautiful shul. But for 6 months, everyone find another place to daven. For 6 months, demolition, construction, there's nowhere to daven. Come back in 6 months. You're not going to do that. Because if you're going to demolish the shul, there's a very real possibility that in 6 months, there will not be a new shul. The construction will not go according to plan, and the money will dry up or will be stolen. So you're not allowed to demolish a shul if you don't have a new place in the meantime to daven. And this is a very, very big problem. This is one tough shilas all over tri-state area. Now tri-state, the whole of America. The rabbanim deal with this issue all the time. All the time. What do you do? What do you do? So,
what if you started building the second shul? You started building.
So the Gemara says you build a new shul, you build a new shul, and then you demolish. What? No, you have to have a real place to daven just in case something will happen in the middle of the construction. You won't be left with nothing. You won't be left with nothing. So this is a tough shiloh. So look what he says in the Chassam Sefer. It's also a fair Shulchan Aruch. It's a fair Shulchan Aruch, or a Chaim Sidon Kufnun Beis, and it's a Gemara Masechet Bava Basra. Ayin b'shalz Tshuvas Chassam Sefer. Shemnesin Eitzel Zeh. If you have a situation where the place where you're going to build the new shul is in the same location as the old shul, the Eitzel is, she'echad mibnei hakihilo yimkor cheder mechiro gemur v'chaluto lebeis hakneses kavua. The only solution is the shul has to buy a new temporary residence. They must own it. They must own a new, at least legally, at least halachically, you have to own a new location. In the meantime, they have to buy it. Vin ein lohem mamon l'shalim lo. If they don't have money to purchase it, yiskoif aleim b'milveh, so let the seller give it to them as a gift to the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses will have legal ownership over this new location that can accommodate the tzibur, and the tzibur will owe them the money as a loan. The acharkach yachziku takeuf b'cheder hazel hispalo. And before the construction begins, the tzibur must be machzik. They must meet in that new location and daven there. And since now they have ownership, at least legally, it could be they owe the money. The one who's giving them this new location has not yet been paid, but legally he must transfer the rights of ownership to the Beis HaKnesses, and now they have Davin there. Mutter Lister HaBeis HaKnesses, now they can demolish the Beis HaKnesses of Yivnu HaKadosha and build a new one. Sheyigmar, and when they conclude building the new one, Yachzru V'yimachlu B'chazor HaChedu L'bolo, you can sell the old room back to the original owners there. V'zeh Mutter There's no chashash. So notice what he's saying. What the chiddush is you can't just borrow someone's garage to daven there for the duration of the construction. Let's say I have a shul. Shul's in a house, and now we're doing construction over the summer, and we'll do demolition. So there's a very nice member of the shul. He has a garage. The garage is suitable for the Beis HaKnesses. He's going to lend it to the shul. No good. He can't lend it to the shul. He has to legally transfer ownership to the shul. Even if the shul is not going to give him one penny for it, they have to have legal. They have to have legal ownership. There has to be a shtar. There has to be some kinyan. And if he wants money, so they'll say, we owe you the value of the garage. We'll pay that over time if things don't work out. But there must be some legal transfer of ownership of the new location for the Beis HaKnesses for the duration of the construction. And if you don't have this legal transfer of ownership, then you're not allowed. It's also pi halacha. Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to demolish a shul in order to build a new shul unless a sakana. The fire department comes, the city comes and says that this building is falling apart, it's condemned. Okay, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says, and it's smuter. But if the government says, listen, it's fine with us, then no problem, we'll give you a license, everything is fine and good. Oh, we want to make it nice, we want to make it bigger, we want to knock it down and make a catering hall, we want to do all these fancy things. And during the construction, it's going to be, no one's going to be able to walk in here, it's not so simple. Don't just, all of a sudden, we'll daven in someone's house. Now, let's do that. The person has to give the shul their house. You have to give it to them. So the tzibur has a makom that they can call their own, at least al pi halach, at least legally. And then, when the construction is over, they'll give it back to the original person. They must have a year. Al pi halach, a year. They must have had done something. You have to ask the rav what they did. There's no question they had to have done something. Otherwise, it's a ferish halach and shulchan aruch. They were in Miller. They were in Miller for 2 years.
Did Miller own the building?
Miller, I think, owned the building. I think he did. So what do? Then? So maybe it means if they have a lease, they have a contract. I don't know. I don't know the details. I do not. It's a very big problem. He's telling us the Chassam Sofer what he says and how they apply that. I'm sure by Frankel they did everything halacha. But this is not only him. Every shul has this issue at some point in time when they do construction. Scandalous.
They got the contract.
Yeah.
And they demolished the bottom. They were rebuilt on top.
Oh, so they officially knew they're not moving back.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. But
yeah, they're staying where they are.
But that was their
intent. So they bought it. They
Which
took over that building.
That? More recently,
they took over. They took over. I know what was wrong. I know what's wrong.
Yeah.
No. They took over that shul. It's my shul.
It's
my shul.
It's divided up into two shuls. You have a Rabbi Packer on one side. They reconstructed that building. Young Israel is from the Grand Street side, and the other shul was on the Henry Street side.
He's a daven there. The father is taking 6 o'clock in the morning to daven there. Down to Bialystoker.
Bialystoker at 4 a.m.
Yeah, we used to go there. So they sometimes my father, why do you go to this one? That first, where he's fine. They wanted everyone. Everyone wants fucking flap, sure.
16th Street.
Yeah.
The shoe jump
in the desert. Now just hold the bill down.
Okay, let's stop here.